talking with Keith and Liz, and I understand that you've come some distance to come to Illawarra Folk Festival. So,
Yes, we're from Adelaide, and we come over every year.
And what brought you? What brought you to come all that distance to this particular festival?
What we normally do, we're retired, mm-hmm. and we've chosen a lifestyle of going to music festivals and volunteering. So each Christmas, alternately, we will go to Woodford or Signet, which are opposite ends of the country, and they're both around Christmas, so we do them alternately. And then from there, we come here, because, you know, it just works out that the distance is right. This year, however, we didn't go to Woodford, but we weren't going to miss this festival, so we came direct here from Adelaide.
Wonderful. So we get you every year, and they get you on the alternate years.
Yes.
And what do you? What's the nature of your volunteering when you come?
I'm an MC.
Mm-hmm. I'm jack of all trades. My preference is always to do the setup and pack down, because that means you get the entire festival uninterrupted. And I also like physical work. I had an office job for years, and getting out and doing physical works, mm-hmm. for me, it's fun. This year I'm doing emceeing as well, because they're short of volunteers here. So I said I can do emceeing as well. So I'm doing both.
Right. So the organisers know ahead of time what your skills are, do they, and how you're going to...
Yes. We actually complete a fairly exhaustive questionnaire as to what we've done before, where we've been, who they can talk to for references, things like that, before we actually come over.
But we come to Kiama as well, and it shares a lot of common organisers, so it's got to the point where they ring us and say, are you coming, and will you do?
We need to.
When you're going to be here. And
Yes. And what does emceeing involve?
Doing a little bit of research on the acts, introducing them so that the audience know what to expect, mm-hmm. I guess, but also not going so far that you take up their time.
Yes.
It's a fairly fine line.
Yeah. And is that on a main stage, or do you move around? I'm not quite sure how.
I've got three venues this time. I had Black Diamond yesterday afternoon, and tonight I've got the restaurant, and then tomorrow I've got the big stage here at Slacky Flat.
Mm.
So I did that last year. Usually I've got the late shift Black Diamond Saturday night with all the kids. I haven't got that this year. I'm really looking forward to it.
I had the midnight shift at the restaurant last night, and that was full, like chockers. So the other part of it here is the MCs are also venue manager, which means you're responsible for crowd control, safety, all that sort of thing, and even saying the venue's full and closing the door on occasion. We haven't had to do it here, but on other festivals we've had to do it.
Yeah, so it's a big job.
Mm. A bit of politics involved.
Yes, yeah. And in the end, everybody needs to have fun. So while there are the rules and the regulations you have to abide, you're also going to make sure that the audience has a good time. So,
yes, for sure. And in between, do you get to listen to the music?
We do,
yeah.
And we patronise the bar.
Okay. Yep.
It's always fun.
Volunteering always involves a free ticket, so we have a free weekend pass to go anywhere we want. Some festivals, you get more than just the free ticket. You'll get camping, and here we get drinks, and set up and pack down, get fed. Okay. So there's the canteen for the volunteers. Yeah. So you're well looked after as a volunteer.
Wow, I know how much they value your work. So
yes.
You're very necessary. And when you do get to listen to music, is there a particular sort of music that you like to listen to?
Celtic is my Celtic background. I'm a Scot.
Okay.
I was born in Glasgow, so I follow the pipes.
Yeah, bluegrass and folk music in general. Mm-hmm. A little bit of country, but we don't go to the Tamworths and the country special festivals.
There's a bit of crossover. You do get the odd country artist in festivals like this. There's a bit of a mixture. But sometimes we'll just go to a venue and say, come at me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the beauty of emceeing.
Yes.
Is that you will get, you're basically there for 4 or 5 hours, and whatever comes.
Right.
You haven't chosen it. You've basically, so you often get to see acts you probably wouldn't choose to, and that's always a good thing.
It's
you discover a whole lot of new things.
Right.
The other benefit we found is you get to know the artists.
Mm-hmm.
So it's reached the point now where quite a few of the groups, we get hugs as soon as they see us, whether it's emceeing or whether it's because you've got to know them, you've introduced them a few times, you've chatted to them, because emceeing you tend to chat to the artists.
Right.
So that's another benefit we find with this.
Get to know people.
That's nice. So it's a social thing as well.
Very much.
Yes. And you're quite a veteran of other festivals. How would you describe this particular festival? Does it have a particular character or flavour?
Perhaps. There are festivals vary in the character or flavour. This one is what I would call a festival on an oval. So you've got a closed environment where you're checked at the door and then it's free for all. You have other festivals that are festival out of town.
Like Malden.
Say like Malden Festival, where the venues are all around the town and you have a door checker at each of the venues, and but free, you can wander free, you don't have to pay to be in the town, if that makes sense. And there's a lot of free music goes on at those. So,
but here it's a closed site.
This is a closed site. Woodford is pretty much a festival on a oval. It's a closed site. And the National is, but there are a number. So they're the two main flavours of festival. And this is definitely one of the better run and better organised festivals on an oval, definitely.
Are there benefits of it being closed? Has that created a different atmosphere because everybody's
We love it here? Because it creates a village atmosphere.
Yes, yes.
If, if you have a festival at a town with venues scattered around the town, you basically it's a town with some shows on. Whereas this creates like a village atmosphere. And Woodford is the epitome of that because it's so far removed from civilization that literally every... And Fairbridge is another one. Literally... you are isolated, so you have all your food supplies, all everything is provided by within the village.
If you don't take it in, you buy it on site.
And what do you like about it being a village?
Just the atmosphere is what you come for. The music is a big part of it, but there's the people who like dance. There's people who come for the stalls, so you know it's all it all creates an atmosphere, and different people have different focuses. We tend to be the music type. We come for the music mostly.
And is the music here of a particular character or
no, it's a bit of a mixture, but we go to Yas, which is an Irish and Celtic festival, and we volunteer there, and we've been to Gwen Innes and Port Arlington, which are also Celtic festivals, but this one is more of a mixture.
Okay.
Much more. I mean, you've got Eric Bogle, singer-songwriter extraordinary.
Many of the touring artists, like they'll do Woodford, then they come here, then they'll, you know, so they move, so you see the same artist, which is why it doesn't actually worry us if our working duties mean we don't get to see an act that we would like to see, because we'll catch them again somewhere else, you know.
They do the circuit.
Yes, and do the festivals, I assume, they communicate with each other so that there is that circuit happening, do they, about when they're
No, it works
on?
The other way. The the managers of the artists communicate with the festivals to set up a tour itinerary. And the locals, what happens there is online they apply. So they bid to say, I'll come, I'll do this stuff, and I want this much money. And then the organisers choose. The artistic director of the festival chooses who they're going to have. And that, so it happens that way. So that's how the music programme is developed.
And with all the ones you travel to, do they go right through the year, or is there a particular season?
There's a festival season. There are a couple of winter ones. There's not usually much after the National in Canberra, because we're getting into winter, and all the artists are going for the European summer for the festivals over there. There are a couple of exceptions. Port Arlington Celtic's in June.
Glen Innes
Celtic is in May. There's a Top End Festival, which is either out of Darwin or Alice Springs, alternate years. And Fairbridge is April.
It's after the National because we got across there.
We did one year. Easter was early, so we went to the National and we didn't even go home to Adelaide. The closest we got was Burra, and then we shot off across the
Straight across the Nullarbor to Fairbridge, which is near Perth.
So we would tell people that over there, and they said, "My God, you're diehard. You did what?" Because we had to be there a week early because he was on the setup.
Yeah, because being in setup, being retired, we can get normally get to the festival early, which gives us the opportunity to take part in the setup part of the festival.
Right, which I guess makes the whole period of the festival even longer than
for us.
Oh, for us, definitely. But we're retired.
Yes. So what proportion of your time would you be at festivals versus at home?
We live in a residential village for the over 50s, so it's don't even have to lock up, really.
No.
But we are the joke of the festival. They call us the nomads.
Yeah.
What the joke of the village, actually.
The nomads or the...
Gypsies.
We're at home probably for only about half the year, and it's... a week here, a lot less. Yeah, a week here, a week there.
We're going to be overseas for 5 months.
So yeah, a lot of our time is on the road. We string two or three festivals together to make a single road trip, and we do tourist.
Yes.
And we now have friends all over the country that we've made in this life.
We had a young relative out from the UK last July, August. We had her for 7 weeks and she's 20. And she couldn't believe that wherever we went, we knew somebody. Yeah. So we'd get invited out for dinner or we'd meet somebody out or something like that. That's the great thing about this travelling lifestyle is the people you meet.
Yeah.
And you meet some and you just click and you stay in touch. Mm. And we've always got a bed in Tasmania.
Yes.
And Glen Innes and,
And how long have you been having this wonderful lifestyle?
About 8 years.
Yeah, 2013 I retired. Yeah. We started well before that, so we didn't sort of... I retired and then started. We actually practiced and got the hang of it and decided it's what we wanted to do.
We bought an old bus for peanuts and Keith finished fitting it out. And we thought, when he retires, we'll upgrade. We've never bothered. No. We just kept the old bus.
Because it's going beautifully.
We decided we're going to keep going until either the bus dies or we turn 70.
Okay.
We're getting there.
And you sleep and everything in the bus?
Yes.
Yeah. And do you have to stay in caravan parks?
Yeah. We've set it up to be plugged in. So we want power. The fridge in particular has to have power.
And I'm not camping in the bushes. Things out there that want to eat. I'm not doing that. I'm not a native Australian.
Okay.
Been out for a long time, but I'm still not native.
Well, it sounds very interesting and a great addition to our interviews today to have yourselves come along.
Have you had other volunteers?
One other earlier on.
Lovely.
Yeah, but different story to yours.
Of course, that's
the beauty of it.
Everybody's story is different. Yeah, well, thank you so much for your time.